I'm Kurt Benkert, and this is Pocket Presence, powered by Sleeper. We're back, and this time, we're here to talk fantasy football, Kyler. We've been talking a lot about different teams, specific outcomes, kind of how we think this year is going to play out, but it's June. I'm starting to get excited about this fantasy football season. I've been looking at some early, way too early mock drafts for fantasy, and some things caught my eye when I was looking at these lists, and I don't know. This is kind of like when I'm gambling. I look at the board, man. I always love the board because there's always action to be had. And I went and looked at this fantasy board and I was like, wait a minute. There's some real discrepancies here, in my opinion, in the quarterback list specifically that we're going to address today. We're going to talk fantasy quarterbacks for 2024, some of their adjusted positions and all that good stuff. But yeah, I'm ready to get to it, man. How are you today?
Good. We're talking quarterbacks. I'm excited. So we have a list in front of us of all the fantasy quarterbacks for 2024 and their average draft position projected by Sleeper. We're going to pull up some stats from last year. Obviously, we have some rookies to throw in here, but let's just start with this top 10 first, and maybe we can walk through how you see the average draft position as compared to where you see some of these guys. So for everybody listening, we have Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson at 6, Joe Burrow, Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray, and Jordan Love at number 10. What do you see issue with there, Kurt?
Yeah, so I'm looking at this list, and again, we have their adjusted positions. So adjusted position meaning where on average running all the mocks do these quarterbacks end up typically getting taken. So if you play fantasy football, you know that you typically don't take a quarterback in the first round in a 12-man league. That's for receivers that you can't replace, running backs you can't replace. Like, that's kind of what that spot's for. And so we're looking at Josh Allen here at number one, and I think he deserves to be number one. He may not end up as the number one fantasy quarterback this year, but he's the safest bet, in my opinion, to be one of those top guys. He's going to play for a team that's going to need a lot of points. The defense isn't great. He runs the ball well. He throws the ball. He rips it. He's got a little bit of a different revamped offense, and it's going to center around him even more so this year than ever before. If he can stay healthy, what he does on the ground with his feet and what he does through the air with his arm will give you that consistent 20, 23, 24, whatever points a game that will end up making him the number one fantasy quarterback or somewhere around that top five at the end of the year. And remember, that's kind of what you're looking for. You're looking for consistency. You're not necessarily looking for the home run hit, the guy that's going to be putting up 30 points a game. Like, you want to go with the safest bet, where on the other side, some guys like Lamar Jackson, who's sitting at number three, Lamar Jackson could very easily put up 30, 40 points if he rushes for 100 yards. But oftentimes the Ravens don't need him to play that way. And he doesn't really do that unless he absolutely has to. He was kind of a little bit lackluster last year in fantasy. He didn't play in a lot of fourth quarters because the Ravens were railing people. And so that's something to take into consideration. But Josh Allen at one. And then we have Jalen Hurts at two. And this is, I'm very low on Jalen Hurts this year from a fantasy perspective. I think he's going to have a better statistical season. I think he's going to play cleaner football this year. Last year was really rough, and a lot of his fantasy value came from the tush push touchdowns, which they're not going to be the same this year. He may have some, but he doesn't have Jason Kelce anymore, and now they have Saquon Barkley. If you don't think that they took Saquon Barkley and added him to their offense to take the load off of Jalen Hurts from running the ball, you're out of your mind. I don't know how many rushing touchdowns Jalen Hurts had last year, but I promise you he will have way less this year. And I would not put him at the number two spot. I don't think that's going to be where he ends up this year. Yeah, I think he's going to be a top five fantasy producer, definitely top 10. But for the value and where you're going to have to take him at ADP 35, 35th pick in the draft, I don't love it there. I think there's way better value to be had later in the draft for guys that are going to give you your consistent 18 to 20 points. And I don't think you have to waste a potential running back slash receiver spot or a potential stud tight end spot at that 35th pick. Wait, there's a lot of value to be had with these quarterbacks in this draft. And I have a really good fact here. On average, 40 quarterbacks start over the course of a season. There's a lot of different injuries that happen. And last year, it was way more than 40. It was in the 50s or 60s. Some teams got down to the third and fourth guys. If you're going to waste a top pick in your fantasy draft by trying to reach for a quarterback, you could end up killing yourself, because if you put that much value into a quarterback and it goes south, chances are you're not going to take another quarterback, especially in a one QB league, until way later, maybe even after the draft. I don't know. I'm a believer that receivers and tight ends are the ones that basically change your entire course of your fantasy league. Also kickers and defenses if you play in that type of league. Those things are what move the needle, because again, there's so many quarterbacks out there. There's going to be quarterbacks that throw for 300, 400 yards a game. There's going to be guys that run for 80 yards and a touchdown. Like, there's a lot of guys like that. And I see a lot of value way later that I think you can wait for and not have to reach in the first three or four rounds for a quarterback. I don't know.
Yeah, I think we'll get to that value pick later on. And I completely agree with you. I mean, when you look at last year's final QB fantasy rankings, you have guys like Jordan Love, who was sixth, Brock Purdy, who was seventh, Jared Goff, who was eighth. And those are guys that were probably taken in the last three rounds in their top 10 fantasy quarterback. So I think your point's well taken. Another interesting stat, last year, Josh Allen had 15 rushing touchdowns, which was the same as Jalen Hurts. So this conversation of Jalen Hurts getting the tush push upside, like, sure, I guess you're right. But at the same time, you know, Josh Allen, somebody who wasn't thought about as having that rushing upside as much as Hurts, had just as many touchdowns. What do you think? You mentioned that tush push maybe not being as effective this year, and you mentioned it in the context of like protecting Jalen Hurts. Is there a time where the tush push just becomes less effective because you don't want to throw your multi-million dollar quarterback into the fray every single time? I mean, it's effective, but I guess the question is at what cost?
Yeah, that's again, you looked at Jalen Hurts last year and he looked like he was playing hurt. Like, he could barely move sometimes. Like, he was able to do the tush push because he's just a large, strong human, but he wasn't the same runner by the end of the season as he was last year, 2 years ago when we saw him, when he was really changing games with his feet. He looked slower, looked hurt, and like, he just looked like he was playing in pain. And I think while you have a guy like Saquon nearing the end of his prime, what's the difference in Jalen Hurts taking a 1 yard, you know, run to move the chains, whatever? If you can find an effective way to use Saquon in that same situation, maybe that's what they do. I don't know. Maybe you'll see Saquon Barkley running the tush push. I don't know. I'd imagine that Saquon's probably potentially even better if he can take a snap under center. I don't know. We might see it, we might not, but altogether, them having that type of running back versus what they had last year and a speed guy, you'd imagine that takes away from what they're asking Jalen Hurts to do as a runner. And again, when you really need your quarterback to play well, you need them in third down passing, you need them in red zone passing. If you're running the ball more often, you're going to be taking away from your accuracy, from your ability to be sharp while throwing, to mentally process. Like, running in those hardcore situations, you're going downhill, having to attack, it does take a toll on you. And it's part of the game. So I think that's part of the reason why Jalen Hurts looked like he wasn't as great of a passer towards the end of the year. I mean, it just, especially midway through the year, it looked like he was tired, fatigued, injured. And I'd have to imagine that the play style that they used him with did not help that.
That's an interesting thought. I don't know why more teams wouldn't slot a running back in there for a tush push situation. I mean, like, I think maybe twice last year, the Eagles threw out of the tush push. They'd ran some, like, you know, fake sneak and went back and threw a pass to a tight end that leaked out. But you know, you're going to run the ball 99% of the time. Why not put somebody back there like Saquon or like any other running back that you don't jeopardize your quarterback, and you have somebody who's probably just a better runner in that.
You've seen some teams do it with their tight ends. Maybe it was the Chiefs did it with Kelce. I'm not sure. I know Mahomes like dislocated his kneecap a couple years ago on a QB sneak, and he's been very reluctant to do any QB sneak since then. But that's, you've seen some teams starting to use tight ends for that situation. So I wouldn't be shocked. That's all I'm going to say. Again, every NFL season brings so much surprise. Somehow this game's been happening for a really long time, and some way, somehow there's something new every year. And I feel like the tush push was last year. Maybe there's going to be some variations off of it this year. Obviously, we got a new kickoff system this year, kick return system, like, all that's going to be different. So I don't know, man. I'm seeing Olympic wrestlers getting signed to teams now. I'm seeing rugby stars getting signed. Like, the game's changing and it's getting more interesting, and it's going to be fun to watch how it plays out. But I definitely, like, oh man, I keep looking at this quarterback list. I'm going down it and I'm like, man, you got Anthony Richardson at six. And I'm like, can he stay healthy? Crazy. Like, I would never take Anthony Richardson with six. Like, yeah, and even if he has a great, this is my thing. Even if he has a great year, plays all 18 games and is a top 10 quarterback, I don't think the risk is worth the reward at six when you give up your opportunity cost of taking a receiver or a running back or a tight end at ADP 60, ADP 59. You know what I mean? And I don't know, man. I'm looking down this list. You got guys like Jared Goff, great fantasy quarterback. Justin Herbert is 16th on this list. And I know he's going to take a little bit of a spill because of Harbaugh, but he's still Justin Herbert. Like, they're still the Chargers. They're still going to be playing from behind, damn it. Like, he's still going to have to throw the ball. Let's not act like he's going into a Michigan offense, because he's not. And yeah. I don't know. Like, they got Drake May at number 24 over Deshaun Watson. I think that's fucking insane. I would never in a million years take Drake May in fantasy football over Deshaun Watson. I would never take him over. I mean, you got Bo Nix, who I actually am really excited to see what happens with Bo Nix. He'd be a guy in a 2QB league. If you got a super deep roster, super deep bench, I would take Bo Nix and stash him, because I think probably going to be getting into some shootouts. And if it's a keeper league, that's the other thing you got to take him into with implications of this. Are you playing in a dynasty league with keepers? Are you not? Do you get a QB keeper in a regular league? Like, what's the deal? So there's a lot of things here that I think need to be taken into account. But, man, give me the quarterbacks that I can get after round 7, 8, 9. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
And again, this is based on computer projections, and you know there's going to be some human error, human reaching that happens with quarterbacks, because everybody loves their quarterbacks. But dude, last year in fantasy, I traded for Lamar Jackson, and I ended up trading a haul. I received a haul to give up Trevor Lawrence, and I received Jordan Love as a part of this haul, and he ended up like one of the top fantasy quarterbacks by the end of the year. What, QB fifth quarterback last year, I believe.
Yes, that's correct.
Fifth quarterback last year, and I got him. They gave him to me. I gave away Trevor Lawrence.
It's a throw-in.
Yeah, literally. And I got Jordan Love. And everyone's saying it was going to be benched. I got Jordan Love. I got George Pickens and Cortland Sutton and a fourth round pick for Trevor Lawrence. And I wouldn't touch Trevor Lawrence with a 10-foot pole. Like, would not do it. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I want to ask you, in this top 10, where you see the drop-off happening? Because it seems like, I don't know, if you have the opportunity to draft Josh Allen, that's probably a good opportunity. If you have the opportunity to draft Lamar Jackson, probably a good opportunity. But at one point, do you start to say, you know what, a wide receiver, a tight end at this position is probably worth more than the quarterback I'm going to pick here? What is that drop-off for you?
I'm looking at some of these guys. So like Josh Allen, I would take him in the second round. Maybe not even, though. Honestly, I think Josh Allen is like, okay, you took Josh Allen with the second pick, with your second pick. But like, bro, you're giving up like an A.J. Brown or a Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan Robinson. Like, you're giving, you got to think about what you're giving up to take a quarterback at 22 versus what can you get at 22 at the receiver position, at the running back position, and opportunity cost that you can then get, I don't know, a Brock Purdy at in the ninth round, right? Like, those are the things. Like, if I was slotted to take Josh Allen at pick 22, I might say F it and take whatever the best available wide receiver is on the board. Just because I know that Kirk Cousins is sitting down there at ADP 135 and he's got the easiest schedule in the NFL. You know what I mean? Like, those are the things that I'm trying to take into account for fantasy that I don't know if the mocks and the models and all that stuff are, where if I have a quarterback that's going to consistently give me 25 points, right? And then at the same draft spot of that, I have a wide receiver or a running back that's going to give me 22 points. What's the opportunity cost there? Because when you flip it, you might not be able to get a wide receiver or a running back that can get you anything more than 15 consistently, where you could get a quarterback that's in the middle of the pack that's going to give you 20, right? Like,
yeah.
Games in fantasy football are this close. They're a point or two away, typically within 5 or 10 points when you get to the playoffs, unless somebody just goes crazy and pops off. But how many picks is a Tyreek Hill worth? How many picks is a Christian McCaffrey worth? Like, assuming they all stay healthy, you got to think more so about the opportunity cost of taking a quarterback high on what value of receiver you cannot get and not replace. Because there are guys that no matter what, they're not replaceable. You can't find that gem in the waiver wire. Like, the Puka Nakuas don't come around so often. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to find a Keenan Allen type of production when he's with Justin Herbert playing at his best, getting 13, 14, 15 targets a game. You're not going to find that on the waivers. You're not going to find that in round 8 typically. So where quarterbacks are going to play, and quarterbacks are also going to get hurt, and they're going to have a backup. They're going to have to handcuff guys. So that's what I'm looking at. And that's what helped me win my fantasy league last year. Like, I ended up playing, let me go to my league. I picked up CJ Stroud off of waivers in like week 5. And I traded away Patrick Mahomes. I drafted Patrick Mahomes, picked up CJ Stroud. Then I traded away Mahomes and Travis Kelce for like some haul. I don't even remember what I got. But I was able to trust that I had CJ Stroud off of waivers and that he was the starter. He was playing consistent. He was going to give me 18 points a game around that. If he popped off, he popped off and smooth sailed all the way to the championship and won it by like 7 or 8 points. But all that to be said, I had a stacked receiving room. Like I had a stacked running backs. Like that's, I focused all on those positions that they're just not replaceable. Like I know Nick Chubb got hurt last year, but you can't replace a Nick Chubb no matter what. Like, you can't replace that. That's the risk you have. You cannot replace a Christian McCaffrey. Nobody's putting up 30 points a game, 20 points a game, 25 points a game like Christian McCaffrey. The other running backs that you like might get in the mid rounds might give you 10 to 12. That's all you're hoping for out of your flex most of the time. So I think that's fantasy football. The number one advice I can give people is it's all about the opportunity cost when you're in the draft.
Sure. You mentioned CJ Stroud last year. A strategy that and obviously if you could just predict how every rookie was going to perform, yep, you'd be really, really good at fantasy football. But I do think there's some strategy here to identifying which rookies you want to hit your wagon to and hoping they play out. Can we go through some of these rookie quarterbacks from a fantasy perspective and have you rank what you think they'll do this year?
Yeah, so I'm looking at Caleb Williams, and Caleb Williams is going to have a good statistical year, I believe. As long as he stays healthy, he's going to throw for 4,000 yards. He's going to be the first quarterback in Bears history to throw for 4,000 yards, and it's finally going to be over. He has no other fucking choice but to throw for 4,000 yards with the receiving room that he has. Like, this is the best. I mean, this is like when they had Brandon Marshall and they had Bennett and like they had all these top shelf guys and they still somehow couldn't do it. Caleb Williams has no other fucking choice but to throw for 4,000 yards when he's throwing to Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze. Got a nasty tight end, got a good running back. He's a guy that I think is going to have a great year, statistically for fantasy. And again, right now, Caleb Williams is sitting at 11th.
Yeah, I wouldn't, sitting right behind Jordan Love, ahead of Brock Purdy, Tua, Jared Goff, even Justin Herbert.
I wouldn't take him at 11. I'll tell you that. I would rather have Kirk Cousins at 18, a couple rounds later, four rounds later, than Caleb Williams at 11, because the wild cardness of that, it's not worth that draft slot. If he, like, he's a middle of the pack guy that I think is going to perform like 11, but you never want to reach or you never want to get a guy that you think like he deserves that spot is what I'm saying in the drafting. So I'm going to put him, he's going to have a good year. I think that, one second.
Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I think Jaden Daniels is going to have a great year. I think Jaden Daniels, fantasy wise, he might actually have a better fantasy season than Caleb Williams, just for the simple fact that he's going to have to play more. He's going to probably play from behind more. He's going to be able to use his feet in a dynamic way that what is like 2.5x multiplier on your fantasy points. 10 rushing yards is equal to 25 passing yards. Do the math. I think Jaden Daniels is going to be able to really own that space. Jaden Daniels is a guy that I would reach for considering where he's slotted right now at 15, because I think he brings more value, or he could be that Jalen Hurts type of fantasy player. Maybe not in year one, but probably by year two. But he's a guy that if you're in a keeper league, probably already drafted him. If you're starting your league now, he's worth the long haul. So I'm really excited about him. I think, obviously, Penix is just going to be sitting on the bench riding the pine. I would not touch Drake May at all. I don't even – they have Drake May listed at, what, 24? Has he even been confirmed to be starting this year? He's not going to give them their best chance. Jacoby Brissett is. And, like, I don't know why Drake May is at 24 on this list at ADP 203. They have Drake May over Deshaun Watson, Will Levis, which Levis is probably going to have a better year than Drake May. They have him over Geno Smith, who had a solid year over. I mean, I even think Bryce Young's going to have a better year. I think he's got a way better offensive situation than he did before, and he's got an actual team or something. But, and then now you look at JJ McCarthy again, no, this is nothing against Drake May. He should not be starting this year. The Patriots are terrible. He cannot save them this year. They need to rebuild, and I don't even know if they are going to throw him as a rookie quarterback into this rebuild with no real end in sight. So take it for what it's worth. Then you got guys like J.J. McCarthy. They have J.J. McCarthy listed at 22. I don't think he's going to start in the first half of the year. Sam Darnold's, if I was a betting man, which I am, Sam Darnold is going to start, and he's going to start at least the first 5 or 6 weeks until they start losing games, which they're the Vikings. They're in a tough division. Got a tough schedule. They're probably going to lose games. So I'd expect to see J.J. McCarthy at some point this year, but as far as I'm concerned, Sam Darnold, you could plop into some fantasy lineups here and there when you need a guy. Like, it's early on.
I think Bo Nix. We forgot about Bo Nix. Sorry.
And Bo Nix, I will say, I'm assuming he's starting for the Broncos. I think he gives the Broncos the best chance. I think he's pro ready. I think Bo Nix can sling it all around the field. I think that he can do anything that Sean Payton's going to ask him to do. And I know I've been a Sean Payton hater, but I'm actually excited to see Bo Nix play in this system, because I think that Sean Payton's probably a better coach when he has a quarterback that he likes coaching. I'll say it. Clip it. I'm excited to see what version of Sean Payton we see. And if Bo Nix makes the same mistakes that Russell Wilson did last year, I bet he'll have a lot more leniency, and I bet he won't dog cuss him on the sideline because he's a rookie. Like, I don't know. I'm really excited to see that dynamic play out and kind of get past the Sean Payton hate that I have, because I also really liked watching him and Drew Brees operate 10 years ago. Like, it was pretty cool to see. So maybe he found his younger Drew Brees and we'll figure it out. But I'm expecting him to have a better year. Have a good year.
So what I'm hearing is, taking average draft position into consideration, we like Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams. Williams is just a little too high.
Yeah, like I think Caleb Williams will have – he has a safer bet to have – say each of them is going to put up, we'll just say the number 300 points. I think that Caleb Williams is more likely to get to 300 points in fantasy this year, whatever that number is. But I would not take him at 11. I'd rather take Jaden Daniels later, slightly riskier, to get to that production point. Because I think there's still an opportunity cost of these mid-round guys, these like 80s, 90s, 100s level ADP pick, adjusted position pick, that I would not give up for a quarterback. Just wouldn't do it. My favorite value fantasy quarterback right now that I'm seeing on this list is Kirk Cousins at the 18th quarterback taken. I'm just like salivating over that. Like, Kirk Cousins might come out slinging in this first like 8 weeks of the season, and they have the easiest schedule in the NFL, dude. Like, that, all of the stars are aligning. And anytime I see any Falcons, anything right now, and they're at the bottom of the barrel, I'm like, hey, now, like, keep that in my back pocket, because if Kirk Cousins is there in the 13th round, and I'm seeing other, there's the other thing, you have to see which other teams draft quarterbacks to know who needs one and what positions they need. You got to be very well aware of those other 11 teams that are drafting. If I see that everybody's loaded up with a quarterback and Kirk Cousins is still there, like, I'm salivating, because that means I'm going to get a better running back, a better receiver, better whatever than I would at that 130th pick if I'm able to save it for a QB.
I like that. Give me a couple other guys that you would consider to be league winners, guys that maybe we're not talking about right now, but if you gobble them up later in the draft, you're on a good path to winning your fantasy league.
Yeah. So I will say this, you cannot win your fantasy league, or it's, at least it's very hard to win your fantasy league, if you don't have a stable quarterback, someone that can hold your team together. Now, again, where do you get that from? Some people get it from waivers down the line. Some people draft them. Some people have them stashed from the bench. They come up and they rise up. I'm looking at Kyler Murray in the eighth round, and I'm like, yeah, like, Kyler, fully healthy all year long with a new weapon in Marvin Harrison, with an offense that's going to be playing from behind, kind of, he had a tight end that went crazy last year. When Kyler came back and played last year, he played really well. He was a top five quarterback, I think, 3 out of the 6 weeks that he played. And also, he came off of an ACL and was running his ass off, making crazy scramble plays. He'll have a full offseason of training. He'll be even better with his feet this year, and he was still dangerous last year. And now he's got more weapons. I'm looking at Kyler Murray, and I'm like, damn, dude, he's the 9th quarterback right now, but I'd take Kyler Murray over Anthony Richardson. I'd take him over Patrick Mahomes. I'd take him over probably Joe Burrow, and I'd probably take him over Dak Prescott. Like, Kyler Murray, to me, is probably my 4th or 5th favorite quarterback of this fantasy season, given where his projected draft is. That makes sense. He's projected to go 80th pick. I'm like, holy shit, he should, like, I think he's going to be a top five fantasy quarterback this year. So what does that tell you? He probably should be picked like 40, 42, 43. That's where I really think he should go. So that's already half of his value. I'm looking at Jordan Love. Somehow Jordan Love sneaking in at the 10th. I know that Jordan doesn't use his feet a whole lot, but he's so consistent and his receiving core is all coming back. They're only going to be better. I look at Jordan Love right now, kind of how I've been looking at Joe Burrow in the past, where, like, you just know he's going to get his. Like Joe Burrow, when he had his nasty receiving core, like they had all the pieces, or they lost a piece to having a little bit of riff right now, whatever. When Joe Burrow had all of his guys, you know Joe Burrow was going to put up 20-plus points a game because he was going to throw the shit out of the ball. And
yeah.
I'm looking at Jordan Love in that same mold where it's like, I know for a fact Jordan Love's going to throw me for what I need. He's going to get his red zone touchdowns. They throw the ball in the red zone a lot. That's one thing that I noticed. A lot of his passing touchdowns came in the red zone, and they were on designed plays that were pass plays and not necessarily forced pass situations. That means that LaFleur is dialing it up on second downs, not only when they need it, and giving Jordan a chance to be good with the football, save the football, take a shot, be smart with it. There's a lot of trust there that's built up that you've seen over the last half of the season. That's what I'm most excited about. You can tell a lot. Clip this. You can tell a lot about a play caller by how he calls plays in the red zone on second down. That tells you everything that you need to know between the play caller and the quarterback and their relationship and how much trust they have. You can even bring first downs into that, but first and second downs in the red zone tell you everything.
Mm. There's a lot of disrespect on this list for Jordan Love. I know that Kyler was hurt last year. Joe Burrow was hurt last year. Anthony Richardson was hurt last year. But just to slot Jordan Love in after all those guys, mm-hmm. I feel like you could make the argument, especially after finishing as the fifth fantasy quarterback last year, that he deserves to be a little higher on that list. But if that's where you derive your value from, then I guess you can hope he falls to you.
Yeah, and I just, like, I'm looking at Anthony Richardson sitting at six. Like, I would never. What you give up taking a quarterback in the 60 spot that's not a guaranteed surefire whatever. Like, give me a Brock Purdy sitting at 12. Give me Tua even at 13. Give me Jared Goff. It's another guy. Jared Goff at 115. I think Jared Goff as the 14th quarterback is a good value. Like, I think he'll be top five, top eight fantasy-wise. And I'm just like, dude, the best thing that you can get out of fantasy, Jared Goff may never give you 35 points in a game. He may never give you 30. Like, you might never have that wow game. But Jared Goff's going to throw for his 2 to 3 touchdowns a game, 250 to 300 yards, maybe one interception. Like, it's, you just know what you're going to get. And that, more than anything, the consistency throughout a fantasy league is what makes you better. It gets you to the playoffs. Like, nobody can make it to a championship run if they have a quarterback that's throwing 30 for one game, 5 another. Like, these back and forth, up and down, whatever, that's not going to work. Not at that position. And a lot of people that had Tyreek Hill, a lot of people that had Keenan Allen, all those guys that went crazy throughout the season, a lot of those guys didn't even make it to the championships this year because those guys didn't play at the end of the season. Like, they weren't consistent. And especially that last 6-week stretch, you didn't know what you were going to get out of them. So all to say, I would take a consistent fantasy team over a hit or miss, because you got to account for all the rest of the other positions that you have. Are they going to be consistent too? Are they going to hit or miss? So give me a consistent quarterback that produces in fantasy at a good draft value, and let me try to get sneaky on waivers and maybe make some cool trades with the value of receivers and running backs that only gets more important as the season goes on. Nobody wants to trade for quarterbacks when the fantasy season's rolling. That's another thing you got to think about. Nobody, if you take Patrick Mahomes at 4, good luck dishing Patrick Mahomes midway through the season. Where if you take another guy at the 38th pick, instead of Patrick Mahomes, that's a receiver, running back, whatever, their value in week 6, 7, 8, 9 only goes up because all those other positions are getting injured, assuming they don't. So, like, you got to play the full season game, lay it out on the table and say, look, it's a quarterback's value in fantasy is never going to be as high as they are in the draft.
That's a really good point. It only goes down. Like, I think as the season goes on, you start to see Tommy DeVito having a Monday Night Football game, and you just think, oh, I could find a quarterback anywhere. Like, I could just go to the waivers, stream a quarterback. And it's somewhat true, but for trade purposes, you're screwed.
Think of it this way, dude. If you could probably go to waivers in most leagues and get a quarterback to start, unless you're playing in like a 2 QB league. That's a whole nother ball game. I'm in one right now. Holy shit, it's deep. Some guys were playing with no quarterbacks because so many people were stashed on benches. It was crazy. Playing in a traditional league, you can probably find a Joe Flacco. You can probably find a Jacoby Brissett that'll get you your 12, 14, 15 points. You cannot find a running back on waivers that you can guarantee will give you 12, 13, 14, 15 points. But you can find those fuckers in the draft in the fourth round. That's all I'm going to say. Do not reach for a quarterback.
I love it. So we have We have Jordan Love and we have Kirk Cousins as two guys we'd like to target. Anybody else you want to add to this list of league winners, the Kirk Benkert fantasy quarterback watch list? Who else are you looking for as you target your own drafts?
So I'm looking at Deshaun Watson. He's the 25th ranked quarterback right now. He has no choice but to show up. And let's not forget, he's not even 30. He had a bad year. He's had a bad few years. He stepped on the field last year for the first time since his bullshit. And now the last thing that people remember of him is just a bad season and an injury. Nobody's really talking about the other stuff off the field as much. And so with that being said, Deshaun Watson at 25, I like Deshaun Watson better than I like Drake May, better than I like JJ McCarthy. Is that Taysom Hill at 21? No. I guess he's QB tight end. I have Taysom Hill at tight end in one of my leagues. I mean, I like Deshaun Watson better than Trevor Lawrence. I like him better than a lot of guys. He may not end up starting, right? Like, he may not end up starting for you in your fantasy league, but if you can wait until way late in the draft to pick up Deshaun Watson or even get him on waivers after the draft, depending on how deep your league is, that means that you save yourself a pick, an earlier pick, and you can go and grab a running back, a receiver. Like, I was able to get Nico Collins in like the 10th or 11th round last year. He was a top 10 receiver. Do you know what his value was by the end? I could have traded him for a lot. I'm in a dynasty league with him, so I kept him. But that's what I'm saying. When these quarterbacks, like, their values most of the time only goes down. Unless you have a guy like CJ Stroud that's in a keeper league. But I really like Deshaun Watson at ADP 218. I like Baker Mayfield at 200. I really, really love Kirk Cousins, 18th quarterback right now at 134 draft slot. I'm a little weary about Justin Herbert, but I do think he's low. I think, again, he's thrown for, 5,000 yards before. He could damn near do it again. He does not have the receivers that he had before, but so that's maybe why he's at 16. I love Jared Goff for where he is at QB 14. I love Brock Purdy at QB 12. I think Jordan Love should be slightly higher than 10, but still, 8th round projected pick. Eighth round, seventh round projected pick. I probably wouldn't reach for him. Jordan Love would be a guy that if he fell a little bit, I'd take him, but I would not draft him where they have him expected to be. And then, yeah, man, I like CJ Stroud for keeper leagues. CJ Stroud, the one thing with him is like the style of quarterback play that he plays with. He's going to throw the ball. He's not going to try to scramble all the time. That's not his play. He's going to scramble to throw, not scramble to run. He has a very consistent play style, and he's going to have longevity in this league. And so he's one of those guys that I think is a safe pick in the fourth or fifth. Safe pick probably in the third. People will probably reach for him in the third, especially dynasties. Dynasty is so much different because you're trying to draft a guy for the long haul, and their careers are long, right? Like, we're talking two different types here, but just your one-and-done leagues. I think I like where he is. I don't love Mahomes at 4, but I really think Mahomes is going to have a better fantasy season this year than last year. He's got better weapons this year. They got a Hollywood Brown, who I think is going to be a dog this year. Don't know where he's at in fantasy at the wide receiver spot, but I'd imagine he's going to be a steal. They just got a really fast receiver in the draft. Like, I think that they're allowing him to get guys around him now that are more push it vertically, more shot plays. And then they got their guy like Travis Kelce that's going to work it and chop it up underneath. They got a good run game. So Mahomes is going to have a better season this year. And then Lamar Jackson's the one guy that I don't like for fantasy. I hate playing against him. I don't love having him. It's like that weird, is he going to have a 12-point game because the Ravens steamroll someone and run for 300 yards and he doesn't have to do anything and doesn't play in the fourth quarter? Or is he going to have a 5-touchdown passing game in the first half? You don't know with Lamar Jackson, and that's why I think the inconsistency sometimes that you see out of his fantasy production is not worth that high of a pick. He's one of the guys that you see on somebody else's roster and you're a little bit nervous, but I'd roll the dice and say he's not going to have a 30-point game most of the time. So,
right.
And if it happens against me, that'd be my luck.
Let's close out here. I think this has been a fun conversation. I mean, just talking quarterbacks in June. It just gets you excited.
Yeah.
You know, are there any guys on this list that you will just not draft come your fantasy season? Oh. Guys who you're like, you know what? No matter if he falls to me, I just don't want him on my team. And maybe it's a personal you know, you played against him in the past or you had him on your team and he put up a stinker in a big moment for you. But any guys on this list that stand out?
Yeah. So there's 33 guys on this list. And these are the guys that I would not touch in fantasy this year for some reason or another. I would not touch Jalen Hurts because I think that you're going to have to reach for him no matter what. And I'm not reaching for him. I would not touch Anthony Richardson for obvious reasons. Hope he has a great year. Not welcome on my team. I would not touch Joe Burrow unless I absolutely have to, because I think you're gonna overpay for his name. And I think you're going to have to reach for him. And I'm not doing that shit for Joe Burrow, not without a loaded receiving core, not in a division that's only getting tougher. Not doing it. Sorry, Joe, you're out. I would not touch Tua this year because I think he had such a good fantasy year last year that you're going to overpay a little bit. And I have concerns about his longevity and his entire situation. But I hope Tua has a great year. I hope he throws for a bunch of yards and Tyreek goes crazy. I would not touch Justin Herbert this year because I don't think the risk is worth the reward. I don't know who he's going to throw to, and I'm not going to draft because his name is Justin Herbert and he's a unicorn. Not going to do that. I'm definitely not touching Trevor Lawrence. I think Trevor Lawrence was a huge disappointment last year. He's probably going to have a better season this year. He played a lot of last year, not healthy, but he lost weapons. They got worse in the offseason and their division got better. Not going to touch him. And then I would not touch JJ McCarthy this year. I would not touch Drake May at all this year. Drake May, I hope you have a great career. I don't think you should play this year. And I wish you went somewhere else other than the Patriots. I'm sorry that happened to you. I wouldn't touch Will Levis this year just because I'd rather have somebody else with a better team. I'd rather have Geno Smith or Bo Nix over him. I would not touch Russell Wilson because his division is a nightmare and we've seen what he plays like when he's in bad situations. And I don't think it'll be long before Justin Fields at some point has to play for whatever reason. And I would not touch Derek Carr because I cannot stand watching Derek Carr play football. I think he's such a great person. I don't like how he plays for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm looking at Daniel Jones sitting at 33 on this list. How the fuck is Daniel Jones at 33 when he's a starter? You have Justin Fields at 32. So somebody must know something I don't, but they did not take a quarterback in the first round. They kept Daniel Jones. Maybe DeVito is going to, you know, come through guns a-blazing at some point. But when Daniel Jones didn't suck, Daniel Jones didn't suck. And I think
I agree.
There's going to be points this year where the Giants defense, by the way, best turnover creating defense in the league, might have Daniel Jones just come in and run a naked boot and he'll get 30 yards and trip and fall and he'll run the clock out and they'll win the game. Like Daniel Jones, Daniel Jones is that quarterback you'll get on waivers if you need like 12 guaranteed points. And that's fine. Sometimes you need that. So Daniel Jones, you're not on my do not touch list.
Dang. I mean, 33 out of 32 starting quarterbacks when there is no open quarterback competition on your team is the pinnacle of disrespect.
Yeah. And you know, I know people are going to take this out of context because that's what they do when they get our clips and they go on Instagram and all that other stuff. I want everyone to know this right now as a super disclaimer. These are based on where they're projected to be drafted, meaning there's an opportunity cost associated with drafting a quarterback. Same reason that I said the Patriots should not have drafted Drake May at 3. They're not in a position to take a quarterback at 3. They need something else at 3. They need more. Like the opportunity cost of taking a quarterback in real life and in fantasy means you're giving up another position of value that can have more of an immediate impact and sometimes, most of the time, win you your fantasy league. So just have it be known, I won my championship last year with CJ Stroud and I traded away Patrick Mahomes, who I drafted in like second, third, fourth round, somewhere in there. Like CJ Stroud was off waivers, baby. And if you're not like how you win fantasy leagues is you got to get lucky and you got to work waivers and you got to make one or two trades that change everything. Unless you just get the luckiest draft positioning of all time and your team stays healthy. Like nobody, like that's just what it is. So.
Yeah, I completely agree. And that's not to say like Anthony Richardson could have a great year.
Yeah.
All we're saying is that drafting him as the number six quarterback off the list, you're probably forgoing somebody really talented that maybe somebody has the 75% of output that Anthony Richardson does, but in return, you get a really high level RB2. That's probably more valuable for your team.
This fantasy football is Moneyball, baby. That's all it is. It's Moneyball. You got to like spend where you need to get what you need to. Like, you want to, the percentages. That was such a great reference. Like, if I can get a running back or a tight end or a receiver that can give me 75% of the production that a quarterback does, like, if I draft a quarterback in that spot versus a quarterback that might give me 90% of the production somebody else does, like, the percentage points add up to fantasy points, which adds up to wins and losses. How many people have had all these stories about, oh, I lost my game by a point or two, missed the playoffs because I lost by a fraction of a point? Like, dude, depending on what type of league you're in, your defense and special teams, like, I have so many messages in my group chat from me reaching to grab the 49ers defense last year and Justin Tucker. Because I drafted them higher than like what other people would have for. I didn't draft them in the last round, which a lot of people wait until the last round to get their defense in the next round or whatever to get their kicker. I drafted them early because they were my priority guys. Like, I would rather have a defense that I don't ever have to fucking sub out and a kicker I never have to sub out unless it's a bye than having a random ass, you know, I don't know, Cortland Sutton on my bench. You know, like,
sure.
Give me someone who's going to be like, I want to fill my lineup as much as possible besides like receivers and running back depth matters. But dude, every point matters. So where can you get your edge? That's fantasy football is where can you get your edge? Everybody has to draft. Everybody is in the draft. You only can have so many people. I'm going to get my edge with my tight ends. I'm going to get my edge with my defense, my special teams, whatever, my kicker. And this quarterback one, that's the biggest conversation. People get excited, man. It's just like GMs in the draft in the NFL. They all want to take their flashy quarterback in the first round when their team sucks ass. And what are you going to do? Like, your fucking quarterback can't go play D-end and force a fumble, win the game for you.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Opportunity cost. Okay.
Opportunity cost. I'm personally a fan of streaming kickers and streaming defenses. I think that you can work ideal situation. Like, I even think it's important, like, to an average kicker is probably just going to be better than Justin Tucker outdoors in Pittsburgh when it's freezing and the wind is swirling than an average kicker is going to play in a dome in Indianapolis. You know what I mean? So, like, I feel like there are certain edges that you can get there. But maybe yeah. There are, like, I'll concede to you that maybe there are two or three kickers in the league, two or three defenses in the league that are just set and forget kind of.
That's people. And that's my those, point. Then, if you can't get those, then you stream them with waivers. That's my thing. Sure. Is if you can get them without having to reach too much, and every draft is different. So if I can get a defense and I'm thinking Jets defense, I'm thinking 49ers defense, I might be thinking Bears defense this year. Bears defense was really good last year. Like, there's a few. And again, you have to pay so much attention to waivers because after the first five or six games of the season, then you really do know. And it was like the Browns defense last year was one of them for the first however many games, one of the best defenses starting in NFL history.
Yeah.
I think you can figure it out that way. You can get people in and out off waivers, but if you can get your top one or two kickers, your top one or two defenses, like the set and forget, more often than not, you're going to end up with a top five defense, top five kicker. And a lot of the teams that you play in the playoffs will have these key positions that are locked up and good to go. Like, some people can piecemeal it through, but I love getting my starting lineup to where I love it. And once I get that, then I'll find the value picks. Then I'll work waivers for a receiver, a tight end, or somebody, or like handcuff somebody. But man, don't reach for a quarterback. I'm a big believer that wide receivers run the league. Running backs, get them and handcuff them. And then get your producers at tight end, defense, and special teams.
Yeah, because then there's an argument to be made. While I'm out here streaming defenses every single week, I just give up my waiver spot so I can pick up the Colts defense for week 7. Meanwhile, you can then be tactical and go and grab a wide receiver that you know I had to pass on because I had to get a defense that week. You never put yourself in the situation where you have to grab a team like that.
Yeah, and that's and that mattered for me. I got a lot of guys off waivers last year that I was a beneficiary of because I had better positioning. And I think when you start using, like, when, especially as fantasy, like, there's so many resources, so much advice, so many predictions, this and that. Like, what edge can you give yourself that other people can't? Like, the waiver matters. Like, it does. And if you have to use your free agent budget and waivers, I mean, save it for when you really need it. Like, don't, a lot of people will waste their free agent budget early in the season, and then by the time it hits the playoffs and you actually want to make a run, you can't do anything. So I think, yeah, it's, I would love to just be able to set my lineup for a couple weeks in a row without having to worry about buys and just know that, like, all right, whatever happens, happens, versus I need to find a running back, or I need to find this, or my quarterback, this, like, just give me the consistent guys and let's go play the percentages. And then in the playoffs, I'll make some moves that risk it for the biscuit.
Sure. Let's end on this. You mentioned Fab, you mentioned two quarterback leagues in a redraft format. What are your ideal league settings? Like, what are the favorite settings, team numbers, PPR, you know, waiver situation? What is your preference?
Yeah. So I like 12 man leagues. I think 10 man leagues, when people post their screenshots of their 10 man leagues and they got their rosters that are super stacked, you're like, you just tell it's a 10 man league. I think 12 man leagues make you have to be strategic and like a tactician. So love that. I did an auction draft last year and I actually hated it because the people that didn't know how to do it fucked it up. And I like a good snake draft because you can't fuck up a snake draft. I mean, you can't, but I like a snake draft. I like free agent on waivers. I don't like free agent budget unless I'm in a dynasty league. I like my free agent budget for my keeper dynasty 2QB league. It's just stacked. There's a lot of action, a lot of bench spots. So, but I like it without it. I like the waivers based on waiver spot, where who'd you pick up, priority, wins, losses, that type of thing. I really like PPR, and I like it when quarterbacks are not overvalued. So I don't like the super multipliers for quarterbacks or any of that other stuff. I like 25 yards as a point. What else do I like? That's pretty much it. And I really like one QB. I like two running backs, two receivers, a flex, tight end, defense, special teams. That's my favorite. It's like old school fantasy, but with all the bells and whistles of the tech we have now.
Sure. You didn't mention kicker. I know a lot of people are
I like kickers.
Up in arms. You like kickers?
Oh, okay. I like kickers, yeah.
I do too.
Yeah, kickers matter, dude. Like, if you're drafting, yeah, like kickers, defense, special teams, tight end. Like, at the end of the day, pick a fucking kicker that's going to make 80% plus of his kicks on an offense that scores points. Like, don't be stupid. That's all you got to do. And then, like, if a kicker pops off 1 week, it's no different than Tyreek Hill randomly having a 300-yard receiving game for three touchdowns. Like, I mean, and it also makes you look at every matchup. Like, if you have an offense that's playing against a really tough defense, don't think they're going to score a lot of points, it's a decision you have to make. Do you keep that kicker in? Do you look at it as, oh, they're not going to score points, or, oh, they're going to keep him out of the red zone, so he has to kick field goals? Like, what's the weather? Like, where are they playing? Are they indoor or the outdoor? I love the research behind the scenes of every single game. And I look at every damn game. Like, it's all I do in the season. So give me the kickers, man. I'm for the kickers. Love me a kicker in fantasy.
I do too. And I think the people that are against it, they're trying to take all the luck out of fantasy. And I think what people fail to realize is that fantasy football leagues inherently have so much luck baked into them. And it's these like super hardo guys online that, you know, maybe they're playing for money, but like they're trying to take their hyper commercialized view of fantasy football and cram it down my high school friends league where like they want to get rid of kickers and they're like, you know, full PPR is bullshit. And like all these, like there's some luck baked into this. Like the best team is not going to win every single year. And that's kind of what makes it fun. It's what makes it frustrating, but it's what makes you come back every single year. And I hate this notion that we should like wring out any bit of luck or chance that happens in fantasy football, because
it
is like 85% luck.
It is. Be luckier. It's like poker. Like, you can have a strategy. You need a strategy, but you also need a good hand. You need things to go your way. You need the dealer to, you know, dish them out a little bit. So be a little luckier. Do some nice things. Buy someone's coffee that's behind you. Build up the karma so you win on fucking Sundays.
Oh, I like this.
You know what I mean?
I like this.
If you want to win your fantasy league, go build up karma throughout the week so you get better luck on Sundays, buddy. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're creating this. We're going to create a movement of really nice people that are doing it so that their kicker scores 12 points on Sunday.
That's it, dude. You're going to like... Breaking news, the most ever bought forward coffees in America. Kicker just trashes on Sunday. It's over. 1 week, one and done. Well, this was fun, man. I'm excited. I'm glad we got to dive into fantasy. I know we've been doing a lot of the case studies. Wanted to take a break from those. Probably pick a team for next week and get back to it. But I felt like it was time to talk quarterbacks. Been seeing some stuff going on, seeing some contract stuff. Like, there's some action. And when I looked at this list, I was like, damn, we need to address this. So start building your draft boards, boys. It's about to get crazy. See you next time.